In a reprobate society, the biggest sign you'll see in a reprobate society is division. Okay, that's how you can see that it's reprobate. You're going to see great division. You see churches being divided right now. There are denominational churches that are being torn in half right now based upon reprobate thinking that's gotten into the church, and they're fighting over what type of a person should be a pastor, whether they can dress, you know, whether they can wear dresses or pants, or whether they should be. And confusion, and people are fleeing. Churches are leaving the denomination. The ones that want to make a stand for God and make a stand for what is right and moral, they're leaving the denomination saying, we can't be a part of this anymore. This is ridiculous. And our reprobate society this week has absolutely failed. And it's so disguised that the Christians are celebrating when they should be crying. The Supreme Court of the United States of America overturned Roe versus Wade, R.V. Wade. It's what we wanted. It's what we've been wanting for years. But we do not want what the Supreme Court did. We have protested, we have prayed, we have begged God to have Roe versus Wade overturned. But what did the Supreme Court do? Roe versus Wade, just do what you want. You decide. They didn't make a ruling. They didn't make a decision. There's no democracy here. They said, oh, you from Ohio? Ohio, you decide what to do. Michigan, you decide what to do. California, you decide what to do. Florida, you decide what to do. We're not deciding. And what did that do? It opened the door for liberals to completely take over this country. Since there are more people willing to kill a child than to keep it alive, politicians will be elected in the liberal states based upon their decision to kill babies. And did it stop abortion? Absolutely not, because if I'm in Ohio and can't have an abortion, I go to Michigan and have one. Not me per se. You've stopped nothing. And you got states that don't care how far along you are. Baby could be developed and formed in your body, and it's okay to kill it. The United States of America are the divided states of America. And now we're turning states, and the governors are getting up. Listen to the governors. Listen to them get up there and say, rah, 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 rah. We're going to keep on killing babies. And do you think we have something to celebrate over this decision? It's appalling. It's out of hand. Very thankful that I'm coming to the conclusion of this message, because I don't want to preach it anymore. Quite honestly, people say, well, we don't know if you're going to finish this week or not. I want to finish. Believe me, I'm done with this message. This has been one of the hardest messages I have ever had to preach. I think that's why God made it go 15 weeks. Why? Because it opened my eyes to things I never wanted to see. I never wanted to admit how far gone the world is right now. And I can see reprobate spirit in people now that I couldn't see before. I could see reprobate spirit in myself that I couldn't see before. But that's not a bad thing, because that means I see it, now I can fix it. I see it, now I can do something about it. I don't have to be that way. I refuse to be that way. So we've been going over 20 characteristics of a reprobate spirit that's beginning to come alive in you. Things you could see and say, wait a minute, I can see where I'm going. I can see what road I'm going down. And we are on number 18. Now, we're all guilty of number 18. So you can get mad at me if you want to. But it's true. And it's called breaking promises. The first problem you have in breaking promises is you don't know what a promise is. So I'm going to help you understand today what a promise is. A promise is a declaration. And when you make a promise, you don't have to add "I promise" on the end of it for it to be a promise. For if you declared a thing, you have promised a thing. If you said you were going to do a thing, then you have declared and promised that you're going to do that thing. "I promise" does not need to be part of it. I could be the richest pastor in the world if I got a dollar for every time somebody told me they were going to do something and then it didn't get done. You see, you got good reasons, you think. "Oh, I'm going to do this on Saturday." Okay. Did I ask you to do it? No. You decided you wanted to do it. That's great. Serve on. Be kingdom. Awesome. Until I look on Sunday, I don't see anything. What happened? "Well, I forgot about this," or "this happened," or "this is going on." Great. "But I'll do it next Saturday. Don't worry. I'll be there next Saturday." Okay. Once again, did I say, "Will you be there next Saturday?" No. Next Saturday rolls around. To the point where I stop looking because what you declare out of your mouth. And the best way to not break a promise is to not make a promise. See, that's the great part. This is an easy fix. Shut your mouth. It's fixed. That's all you got to do. Or reword it. I reword things. "I'm going to take care of this eventually." All I got to do is take care of it eventually. I'm not in much danger of breaking a promise, as long as I do take care of it eventually. Or, I'll get to this somewhere in the next couple months. See, it's so easy to reword it and not get in trouble. Because, see, you're not getting in trouble with me because I know you have a reprobate spirit already. I've been watching it for 15 weeks. You're breaking the promise to God. For he's the one who received your declaration. I pretty much ignore them. I've been around too long. I already know. You know, this Satan, I got a sermon title, and I don't know what my next sermon is yet. I don't know what the next series is. But I got this title, he does good to be bad. And I just watch this movie called Bad Guys. And Bad Guys is hilarious, if you haven't seen it. It's about a shark, a wolf, a snake, a tarantula. Shark, snake, wolf, tarantula, and piranha. That's the five guys. These are buddies. And they're hilarious. But they're bad guys. Right? They're up to no good. They're up to causing havoc and chaos and thievery and everything else. They're just bad guys. But in the movie, they decide they have to pretend to be good guys in order to be bad guys. And then something happens in them and they turn into good guys. Meanwhile, there's a guinea pig who seems to be the sweetest, nicest guy in the world. He's saving the world, but he's got evil plans to take control of the world. Now, where I was going with all this, I have no idea. Started thinking about the movie, and I'm gone. But it's hilarious. What was I saying? Linda, help me. We're talking about promises. Oh, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so we make a promise, a declaration, a statement. I don't care what you want to call it. It's all the same in God's ears. And I have this sermon title, He Uses Good for Bad, which reminded me of the movie because they were trying to use good for bad and ended up being good people. Satan will bring you a better opportunity to cause you to not carry through with your promise, your declaration, your statement. He will bring something around that you just can't walk away from. And I remember one time I promised a little church that I would go preach. And my bishop called me up and he said, I need you to take me to such and such, we're gonna hang out with so and so. And I got so excited because this was one of the named pastors, famous all over the world type person that everybody knew, and what an honor to be able to meet, and just a great night. Because I could get, we'd have dinner together and we would have fellowship and. I got all excited, and then I remembered my promise to this little church of 15 people that I promised I'd go preach at. So I called my bishop, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't go tonight. I'm sending my replacement in for you. He'll take you. And I went. And I preached in this little church. my heart wanted to be elsewhere. I'm not going to lie. But I made a word to this. Now, I could have called him up and said, you know what? I'll be there next week. Would have he gotten angry with me? Probably not. Something's come up, brother. I'll come next week. I got this opportunity to go have dinner with so-and-so, and would it be all right if I came next week? Wasn't a big deal, except to God. God said, I want you to be a man of your word. And if you gave the word, I like old-time guys. I really do. You know, when I bought the house that Marjorie and I have lived in now for 39 years, I went. The guy listed it for sale. I told him I wanted to buy it. And he reached out his hand and he shook my hand. Now, I'm young. I'm only 22 years old. And I'm thinking, okay, are you your attorney going to prepare the contract? He said, no, we shook hands. I had no contract. I had a handshake. Marjorie asked me one day, she said, honey, are we really going to buy that house? I said, I have no idea. We're trying. We don't know. We went through the whole thing without a contract. We go to close on the house, and I go to him, and I said, are we going to close in your attorney's office or mine? He looked at me, and he said, eh. Well, before that, I said, where do I send the deposit to? He said, I don't want no deposit. You keep your money and earn interest. Why is it going to sit in an attorney's office and earn interest for the attorney? You keep it. You earn your interest. I don't need a deposit. I'm like, oh, no. Given no deposit. I've got no contract. I want the house. But see, he gave me his word. We're going to close in your attorney's office or mine? He says, no, I don't have no attorney. So I go to my attorney and I explain the situation. I say, you know, we need to do this thing, and he doesn't have an attorney, so I need you to represent him too. My attorney says, absolutely not. I cannot represent both of you. I got up from the desk. I went over to his office door and I closed it, and I went back and set it in my chair, and I looked him in the eye and said, listen, this is my dream house. This is my wife's dream house. You're going to get it for me. I wasn't as nice at 22 as I am now at 61. I said, I don't care what you have to do. I'm not asking for favor. You can go right down the middle of the line. You can give him the favor. I don't really care. You just get me this house. He said, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Guy came to my attorney's office to the closing. He signed all the papers. Never read a one of them. And when we were done, we're walking out, and he said, how much did that cost you? And I told him, and he got out his checkbook and wrote me half. Wow. Why is it just the old timers that lived by the word of their handshake, by their word was it. Pastor Manny Lopes was that way. I was attracted to Pastor Manny Lopes because I knew when that man told me something, didn't matter if I liked it or I didn't like it, that's the way it was going to be. I didn't have to worry that he was going to go a different way or change his mind, or I didn't have to worry about nothing. If he said it, that was it. That's the kind of people that are a pleasure to be around. You know where they stand. See, I don't really care whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me, but I love to know where you stand. Don't be playing around with it. Tell me where you stand. Tell me where you are. Today, it's 50-50. Maybe you'll be there, maybe you won't. Depends what other kind of offer you get. Depends who's coming into town. It depends on somebody wants to do something. Depends on what your wife says. Depends upon what your husband say. It just has so many different things that depend on whether you're going to keep your word or not. In my business, there are more people that fail at it than succeed at it. There are people that have done it for as long as me and have nothing to show for it. But we have the same skill set. I can put in a water heater, you can put in a water heater. I can put a floor in, you can put a floor in. We have the same skill set, but yet we're on different ends of the spectrum. One business became highly successful, while the other one, you're lucky if you have food for rent this month. Money for rent this month. What's the difference? The difference was I spent a career of being a man of my word. If I said I was coming on this day, I was there on that day. If I said I was coming at this time, I was there at this time. If I said I was going to do this, I did that. Very, very, very few times in a 42-year career did I ever vary from that principle. God keeps his word to us. What would life be like if God didn't keep his word? And you had to wonder, am I saved? Am I not saved? You're sending Jesus, you're not sending Jesus, what's the deal? And if God keeps his word to us, can you imagine what he expects from you? He expects you to keep your word. I'm not taking drugs anymore. Really? But your coworker gives you a pill, but that don't count. Well, sure it does. You just lied to God again. Maybe God won't keep his word. God has a tendency to say, well, if you didn't do that, then I don't have to do that. Keep trying him. What's the scripture for this? I should get to some scripture. When he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin. See, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about you make a promise, but you don't consider it a promise because you have a godless, worldly view of what's coming out of your mouth. It's just not that important. I got something better to do. But it's going to be exposed. Righteousness and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control, that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Is there more to this? Where's it at? Is that not where I'm at? That's where I'm at. Psalms. I want Psalms 15:5. There we go. That was the wrong scripture. This is the right one. It was a good one, though. Right? They're all good. I could say whichever one, it's going to be good. Keep your word even when it costs you. See, that's the test. It's easy to keep your word if that's what you want to do anyway. But what happens when you made your word and then it's going to cost me? I'm going to miss out on something very important. I'm going to miss out. The Bible says, keep your word. Even when it costs you, make an honest living, never taking a bribe. You'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. What are we talking about blacklisted? We're talking about God's favor upon you. Because we think we're going to not keep our word and we're going to run back and say, God, forgive me. When God knows you're not sorry and that you're going to do it again. Like the 300th time you've done it before. But you have a clean conscience. When the altar workers come up today, what a great opportunity to get before God and say, you know, I haven't always kept my word. But today I start again. Some people you expect to keep their word, like me. Right? Pastor, can you do our wedding? Sure. Some of you know the story of the couple I married that I was so sick. And he watches the movie of the wedding. And he wanted me to preach for 45 minutes. I'm so sick, I've got somebody next to me in case I fall. And he says, you know, we watched the video. I was watching the video last night, and you drink a lot. What were you drinking? I said, I was drinking codeine is what I was drinking. It's the only way I could talk. It's the only way I could stand there. I had the flu. But I wasn't going to break my word because they were counting on me. Could you imagine if I didn't show up to their wedding, how it would have ruined their day? Maybe they couldn't have got married at all. I got a call just a couple weeks ago, a month ago, of a lady who said, hey, that was you who called me, sissy, yes? That was you who said, and somebody called me, and I guess their pastor decided not to show up on that day for whatever reason? Yep. Reneged, didn't go to the wedding. didn't go perform the wedding. And Sissy's like, are you busy? What can you, two, when's the wedding? 2 hours? Now, I'm calling all the pastors because I couldn't make it, and I'm calling Donna, and I'm like, and somehow they worked it out, and I don't remember how they worked it out, but while I was on the phone getting them a pastor, they called and said something changed, and I don't know what happened. I guess they got married? Okay. Could you imagine? Not keeping my word, even to my own hurt, even when it cost me. I wrote this entire thing out, brought somebody with me and said, all you got to do is read if I can't. If I go down, just read this. I was playing with both ends. It was not good. Lord, help me if I cough. Y'all act like you've never been there. Don't act like you've never been there. Believe me, you expect me to keep every word I say. You hold me to a higher standard. What gives you the right to hold me to a higher standard that you don't hold yourself to? If you want to hold me to that standard, that's great. I'm fine with that, but hold yourself to that standard too. I'll keep my word. Don't worry about it. You keep yours. How'd you like to come to church? Maybe we're open today and maybe we're not. Kind of like the businesses in Lake Placid. Yeah. Maybe it's open, maybe it's not. We'll see. You wouldn't come so often. You'd get tired of trying to figure out whether we're open or not. No. We have plans in place that this will be open when we say it's going to be open. And in 10 years, it's always been open when we said it was going to be open. All right, next one. Heartless or lack of conscience. You see, it's amazing what you can get used to. You can do something and might bother you a little bit. That little angel on the shoulder might slap you on your side of your head a little bit. But you do it again. You do it again. You do it again, you do it again, the angel's still slapping you, you're just numb now. We become numb to the Holy Spirit, correct? Because we keep doing it. That's what reprobate's all about. And we'll... We won't do this, but we'll do that, even though that's going to end up with the same result as that would have. No difference. We'll find a way around it. When you don't have a conscience, you'll find a way around it and say, well, this is different. Well, what's different about it? Let's look at the scripture. My people are infiltrated by wicked men, unscrupulous men on the hunt. I could name you companies in Lake Placid that are unscrupulous and on the hunt. They'll go into you, look at your air conditioner, for example, and tell you you need a new unit or you need a new compressor when all you needed was a $10 capacitor. If there's such a thing as a $10 capacitor, I don't know. Yeah, 30 now. Was 10, it's 30 now. You need this, this, and that. When just not true. But they know you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't have called them to start with. You don't know what's wrong. Called a company in because automatic gates were not opening. He comes in and he says, you know what? We're going to have to dig up the entire driveway, and we're going to have to replace all the wires, and we're going to have to do this, this, and that, and it's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars. And I go over to the master opener, and I said, why don't you replace this part? Oh, well, we could try that. Yeah, let's try that. $150 later, my gates work fine. But they're unscrupulous. They have no conscience. It's about how much money can I get from this place, because look at that house and look at. When I managed the big estate that I managed, I was called the gatekeeper. He's the gatekeeper. What did they mean by that? I was the one that stood there and stopped other companies from stealing. Can't tell you how many companies in 22 years I threw off the property. When he hired me, I said, I can't do this job. I'm a general contractor. He said, oh, no, that's what we want. We want a general contractor. We want somebody who knows what's going on here. Because they set up traps for the unsuspecting. Their victims are innocent men and women. Their houses are stuffed with ill-gotten gain like a hunter's bag of birds. Pretentious and powerful and rich, hugely obese, oily with rolls of fat, worse, they have no conscience. They don't care if they take a widow's last dollar. One guy got real mad at me one time because I went to a widow's house and I did a repair for free. And I went to his house and charged him for his repair. That's not fair. Who's trying to be fair? I'm not trying to be fair. The widow didn't have the money to pay me, and I didn't care. And I read the scripture, and it talked about the guys that worked 8 hours got the same amount of money for the guys that worked 1 hour. God says, if I lead you to do something, do it. Just write the check and shut up. It's not your business what I did over there. I don't even know how you found out about it. But if I decide to do that, that's what I decide to do. End of story. That ain't the only job I've done for free anyway. How mad you want to get? Right and wrong mean nothing to them. They stand for nothing, stand up for no one, throw orphans to the wolves, exploit the poor. Do you think I'll stand by and do nothing about this? God's decree, Don't you think I'll take serious measures against a people like this? I knew a guy who was like this everywhere he went. And he made a lot of money. A lot of money. He died penniless. Because God doesn't let you keep ill-gotten gains. You can hold it, but you ain't keeping it. You can play with it, but you ain't keeping it. Develop a conscience. Ask God to give you one so that you know right from wrong. God, restore my conscience to the place that you wanted it to be. Restore it. Let me know if I'm taking advantage of somebody. Let me know. If I'm charging too much, let me know if I'm not charging enough. Let me be fair. All right, last one. I only have 8 minutes, but we're going to do it. A characteristic of a reprobate spirit is being merciless. Look in Judges. And then the people of Israel went back to doing evil in God's sight. I wish Jesus would come every now and then and just follow one of us around for 24 hours. Can you imagine that? Stand up, Jeff. Jesus, just come like this.
I'm a little scared.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, where are we going?
I love you, Jesus.
Where are we going?
I don't know. I hope it's a good place, though.
We going to the club?
No. We're not clubbing today.
Wouldn't that be cool? If I could just look out, there's Jesus following Rob around. How cool is that? Rob's going to be good today. No trouble out of Rob today. Follow me around today, Jesus. Let everybody see you're following me around. Watch how good I can be. We're always in his sight. He is always next to you, following you around. And he would get so mad at Israel. So angry at Israel, because no matter what he did for Israel, Israel would turn their back on him once again. I've seen God do miracles after miracles. I've seen God give people a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, and then I watch them turn their back. Listen, just on the miracles I've seen God do in people's life, this should be standing room only. And where are they today? There was a guy who sat right where Sandy's sitting right now. And it was Sunday, and on Monday they were going to amputate his leg. And I'm preaching, and I'm doing the sermon, and God says, stop preaching and go pray for that man. I'm like, so I get off the stage, I call my pastors over, and we lay hands and we pray on him. And the hole in his foot healed. During the service, it closed up. It was all the way to the bone. You could look in and see the bone, and it closed up. If that happened to me at the end of the service, I would tell all y'all, just go. I want to stay right here. I have no reason to leave this place. I don't care who says what. I don't care who does what. I ain't leaving this place. Where are they? Just like Israel, they just go right back to evil, forgetting what God's done for you. We're going to have a communion service soon. And one of the critical parts of the communion service is remembering what God did for you. How do you go back to evil when you keep your mind on what God has done for you? How do you go back to the vomit if you can remember what God's done for you? They worshiped the Baal gods and Ashtoreth goddess, and gods of Aram, Sidon, and Moab, gods of the Ammonites and the Philistines. They worshiped the drugs of alcohol. They worshiped the drugs. They worshiped the television. They worshiped the sporting teams. They worshiped the clubs. They worshiped they just walked off and left God. They quit worshiping Him. Because see, when you're worshiping God, you're not going to get involved in any of that crap. And God exploded in hot anger at Israel and sold them off to the Philistines. Are you being sold today? And the Ammonites, who beginning that year bullied and battered the people of Israel. Are you being bullied and battered? Because I see some bullying and battering going on. Are your finances suffering? Is your health suffering? Maybe you made God angry. But you don't want to think about that, I know. Who beginning that year bullied and battered the people of Israel mercilessly. For 18 years, they had them under their thumb. All of the people of Israel who lived east of the Jordan in the Amorite country of Gilead. Listen, when's the last time you asked God for His mercy? Because we all need it. We need mercy. Because we don't always walk the way we should walk. We don't always think the way we should think. We don't always do what we should do. And we need mercy. But more importantly, you need to show mercy. Who is it that you need to show mercy to? People say to me all the time, my leaders, my people that I surround myself, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you said you were going to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know I need to do all that, but I also need to find mercy. Because he understands something that many people don't understand, and that is the amount of mercy I'm going to receive is corresponds to the amount of mercy I give, and I need mercy. We're a merciless society. We want people to get what they deserve, just don't give us what we deserve. Now, sometimes people take what I say too far. and no matter what somebody's done, now I'm supposed to go give them mercy. No, there comes a line, there comes a balance, and I don't have time to get into that today because my time is up. But let God lead you. God will lead you into the mercy he wants you to give, because there's many times, and I've read scripture today that just says that he's done with mercy, that he's not ready to give any more mercy. Altar workers, you can come up now. I've got to close. If you want to be a member of the church, what a great day to come up and say, God, I'm ready to be a member of the church. A great day to rededicate your life to God. What a great day. Anything you need prayer for, these people will pray for you. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for this series. It was a great series. We look forward to the next series, God. But we thank you for this one. May we always remember it. And may our eyes be open to what's going on around us, that we see past the facade. This is the facade of victory, even though it's defeat. The facade of defeat, even though it's victory. Help us to see. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.